You have your Bibles tonight. I would like to ask you to please turn to the book of Acts. I would like to read from Acts chapter 13. We'll begin reading, Lord willing, with verse 44, Acts 13, beginning in verse 44 and reading through verse 52, the end of the chapter. Before we begin to endeavor to read and study from the Word of God, I would ask you to please join your hearts together with me in a moment of prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the privilege that we have to call upon the one true and living God, and we know that thou hast known from even before the foundation of the world every problem that we would ever have. We thank you, Lord, for promising us that you would never leave us nor forsake us, and we're thankful that as we assemble ourselves together in thy house this night, we're thankful that we can feel God with us. We're thankful that though one day we're going to go up to heaven and be with you there, we're thankful that you come down and you dwell with us here. We're thankful that we can sing and say anywhere is home if Christ my Lord is there.
Yes.
We thank you, Lord, for the saints of God that have lost their natural homes and they continue to trust in thee and they continue to be confident in thee. They continue to be full of joy and peace because their confidence is not in the things of this world, but their confidence is in the God of heaven and earth, who is our heavenly Father, who doeth all things well. We pray, Lord, that you would bless all those that are sick and afflicted, and those who have special burdens and problems. You know the needs of each individual. There are those that are on our hearts and minds and prayer lists this night that stand in great need of thy help. And you're the only one who can touch and heal and bless, not only physically, but mentally and spiritually. And we pray that you would help them and bless them. And we pray that you would guide us all to know things that we can do to help other people. We do beg you, Lord, to bless us during this coming week. Pray that you would guide and direct our footsteps. Let the words of our mouth and the meditations of our heart be acceptable in thy sight. We ask you to help us in all the decisions that we make, that we would be guided by your Holy Spirit. We pray that in everything that we say, that we would be careful about what we do and what we say. And again, now bless every person in this congregation. We thank you for every person that's here. Pray that you would bless each one, not according to what we deserve, according to thy mercy and thy grace. You know the needs and the burdens and the problems of each person here. So bless each one, and bless those who desire to be here but are providentially hindered, and bless those that don't have a desire, Lord. We pray that you would stir up in their hearts and minds a greater desire and determination to be faithful in worshiping thee. Bless us now, we pray, in the blessed and holy name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Acts chapter 13, beginning in verse 44, reading through verse 52. Acts chapter 13, verse 44, the Word of God says, "And the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of the Lord. But when Jesus saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy." I want you to remember what they were filled with. They were filled with envy. There's going to be a big contrast in what the Scripture says about these people who were filled with envy. And then the last verse is going to talk about people who were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. There's a big difference in being filled with envy and being filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. So these people that we're reading about in verse 45, the Scripture says they were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, "It was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you, but seeing ye put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. And the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region, but the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women and the chief men of the city and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them out of their coast. But they shook off the dust of their feet against them and came into Iconium, and the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost." I want us to think primarily, we're going to be looking quickly at this and then go into something else that's really deeper than that. But I want you to first think about the fact that God's people can be filled with joy. Now, sometimes we have a little joy. Just like last week, we tried to study about great peace. There are those who have no peace. There are those who have great peace. Likewise, when you think about the subject of joy, there are some of God's people that have no joy, some have some joy, and then some are filled with joy. And that's what the Word of God says about these people right here, that they were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. They were filled with both. They were filled with joy, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost. Usually, or at least sometimes, when you think about joy, what's the first song that comes to your mind when you think about joy? The first song.
Joy in
heaven. All right. I think that song is definitely true. There'll be joy in heaven when we all get home. That's true, isn't it? There will be joy. There will be gladness. There will be calmness. There will be everything that joy is. Pleasure and happiness. All of that's contained in this word, little three-letter word, joy. All of that will be in heaven. There will be joy in heaven when we all get home. But that's not what the Bible is talking about most of the time. That's not what the Bible is talking about here in Acts 13, verse 52. The Scripture says that these men, these disciples, men and women, they were filled with joy. Right then, while they lived here in this world, they were filled with joy. And I believe the Word of God teaches that we can be filled with joy. And I'm not talking about joy that comes from material things of this world. I believe that there is a temporary joy that you can get when you get different kinds of material things. But the joy that we're talking about tonight is a joy that comes from being close to God. In fact, the Scripture makes this statement. I want you to listen carefully. The Word of God says in the book of Psalms, "In thy presence is fullness of joy." What does it take to be full of joy? Just being in the presence of God. Doesn't take going to heaven when you die. Doesn't take that. And we're going to have joy there. But right now, we can be in the presence of God. And you can be filled with joy no matter what else is happening in your life. You can be filled with joy. Right here, we're looking at Paul and Barnabas. Do you think that if you had gone to a place and begun to preach to them about the unsearchable riches of Christ, and they despised you, and they were filled with envy, and they drove you out of that city, would you be a little discouraged? Do you think I would be a little discouraged if all of a sudden this church were to turn her back on the Word of God and just say, go away, we don't want to hear the Word of God anymore? Would that discourage me? Would it discourage you? Does it sometimes discourage you when you try to talk to someone about the Word of God and they rebel against the Word of God and they don't want to hear the Word of God and they don't want to hear the truth? Does that sometimes discourage you? Well, listen, brethren, I started to say Paul never got discouraged. I'm sure he probably did. But the Word of God doesn't tell us about Paul getting discouraged. Let me put it like that. The Apostle Paul faced more persecution and more troubles and more tribulations than we do. And yet the Scripture keeps talking about that he was filled with joy. After they drove him out of these cities, he went on to Iconium and other places, and he was still full of joy. Was Jesus full of joy while he was here in this world? What did he have in a material way to make him filled with joy? He didn't have anything. He told his followers and people that began to be disciples of Christ, he said, "The birds have their nest and the foxes have their holes, but the Son of Man doesn't have a place to lay his head." I want you to know, brethren, that God's people can be filled with joy even if they have nothing of this world. We need to pray that God will help us to have that kind of joy. To be filled with joy from being in the presence of God. Now, here's what I want to mainly look at. Do you see what this says in Acts 13, 52? Look again at the verse, because we're going to jump from that right to another verse that teaches something much different. Acts 13, 52, the Word of God says, "And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost." Now I want you to notice this. Turn to Acts 15. Look at Acts chapter 15 and verse 3. You can be filled with the Holy Ghost, but there's something else the Word of God tells us about in Acts 15 and verse 3. The Word of God says in Acts chapter 15 and verse 3, "And being brought on their way, this is still Paul and Barnabas now. This is still the same two men that we just read about in Acts 13. And being brought on their way by the church, they passed through Phoenicia and Samaria, declaring the conversion of the Gentiles. And they, listen carefully now, and they caused great joy unto all the brethren. Is there a difference? And I would say a major difference in what's stated here and what was stated in Acts 13:52. Acts 13:52 talks about, and the disciples, they were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. Now what's the scripture saying? It's saying that as these men went, these men were full of joy, as they went to various places, they caused great joy unto all the brethren. You see that? I believe that when a child of God is full of joy, like Paul was full of joy, I believe that when you and I are full of joy, I believe that by the grace of God, we can cause great joy to other people. Have you ever been around children of God and that just being in their presence, that they were so full of joy that it caused you also to have great joy? And that's what Acts 15:3 is saying, and they caused great joy unto all the brethren. Brethren, you and I have had people that caused great joy in our lives, haven't you? I want some of you just to tell me about anybody that has caused great joy in your life. Those of you that have been in this church a long time, who was one of the dearest old saints that we ever had here?
Sister Queen Waters.
All right, Sister Queen Waters, Sister Maggie, and different ones like that. Listen, brethren, those old saints that used to sit there right where Brother Richard and Sister Cindy and them are sitting right in that area, those old saints that were here when I came here 30-something years ago, those old saints were full of joy. Their joy was not based on material blessings, but their joy was because they were close to God. And because they were close to God, remember the text of one of the scriptures says, in thy presence is fullness of joy. They were close to God, so they were full of joy. What was the result? They were filled with joy and filled with the Holy Ghost, but they caused others to be filled with joy and filled with the Holy Ghost. I want us to understand, brethren, that we all ought to be filled with joy. And if we're close to God, we're going to be filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. But we also will then cause others to be filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. And I pray that God will help us to realize tonight what a great privilege it is to be filled with joy, even if you have nothing in this world. In fact, I would ask all of you to pray that God will begin to help us to be filled with joy in spite of everything that happens in our lives. We must reach that point in our lives where we think and feel and know it does not matter what we lose and what we don't have, we still shall be full of joy. And you can be full of joy if you're in the presence of God. And if you're in the presence of God and you're walking with God and you're having fellowship with God and you're filled with joy and you're filled with the Holy Ghost, when you're around other people, you're going to cause those brethren also to be filled with joy. I think that's one reason that David said, I was glad. That word glad means the same thing as joy. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Did you know I find joy when I come to the house of God? I find joy in the people of God. I find joy when I see you. When I see you during the week, it causes me great joy. I rejoice in your presence because you're close to God. You're filled with joy. You're filled with the Holy Ghost. And when I see you, it causes joy in my life. I believe that it's, I hate to say contagious because that's not really what I mean, but do you know what I'm trying to say, what the Word of God is teaching here? That when you're around people that are full of the Holy Ghost and full of joy, it causes you also to be full of joy. It has a tremendous impact on your life. I'm not saying you can live like the devil and you can feel joy whenever you're around people that are full of the Holy Ghost. But I'm telling you, when you're trying to serve the Lord and you're trying to do what's right and is pleasing to God, God's going to bless you to have some joy. And then when you're around somebody else that's trying to serve the Lord, they're full of joy, and you're going to have more joy by being around those. They'll cause you, and you'll cause them to experience more joy. Back up in your Bibles to the book of Acts. Look at Acts chapter 8. There are many examples, but I'm just going to give you a couple of examples. One is not only Paul and Barnabas that we're reading about right here. Do you see that Paul and Barnabas caused other brethren to have joy? because of their lives. Now, you might say, well, there were things they were doing that caused others to have joy. I think that's true. What are some things Paul and Barnabas were doing that helped others have joy? What do you think?
Preaching.
Say it again.
Preaching.
Preaching. That's one thing. I think they rejoiced to hear Paul and Barnabas preach. I think that when Paul and Barnabas were filled with joy and they were filled with the Holy Ghost and they were preaching the Word of God, is there not joy whenever you're sitting under the sound of the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ? Isn't there joy in your soul? That's one way that I think with Paul and Barnabas that while they were out preaching, that they caused other brethren to be filled with joy because they heard the Word of God, they rejoiced in the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and they were filled with joy as well as Paul and Barnabas while they were preaching the Word of God. What's something else that Paul and Barnabas, besides preaching, that they might have been doing that would cause other brethren to be filled with joy?
Sang.
Yes, they sang. You remember in the prison in Acts chapter 16? You remember when they put Paul and Barnabas in prison? You want to have some good study. You want to be filled with the Holy Ghost. You go home and read the book of Acts. You read the book of Acts over and over. And you'll be filled with joy. When Paul and Barnabas were put in prison, were they sad? How would you feel in prison? Because you hadn't done anything bad. All you've been doing is preaching the Word of God. They were put in prison. They were despised because they were preaching the Word of God. But when they were put in prison at midnight, what did they do? They sang praises to God and they gave glory to God. They were filled with joy in spite of where they were. The circumstances and conditions in life did not get them down. They were happy. They were rejoicing in the Lord. They had great pleasure to suffer for Christ's sake. And while they were in that prison and they were filled with joy, you know the Word of God comes right on down and talks about that jailer that believed and he was filled with joy. Do you know why that jailer was filled with joy? Because that jailer saw and heard the power of God in Paul and Barnabas. And when he saw and heard the power of God, it caused, Paul and Barnabas were rejoicing, but it caused great joy in that jailer's life. And he said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they told him, and he and his household were baptized, and they were, the Scripture says, filled with joy. Isn't that a wonderful thought that not only can you be filled with joy, but that you can cause others to be filled with joy. Look now at Acts chapter 8. This is someone else in Acts chapter 8. Philip, Brother Philip, good brother in the Bible, good brother in the church. Brother Philip was a man that preached the Word of God. And as Brother Philip preached the Word of God, as he preached the gospel of Jesus Christ, you know what he was filled with? Do you know what everybody's filled with? It doesn't matter whether you're teaching or preaching, or this morning we tried to study about testifying of the gospel of the grace of God. Have you ever gone out to testify of the gospel of the grace of God? Have you ever tried to talk to someone about the kingdom of heaven? Have you ever tried to talk to anybody about any portion of God's Word and you felt like God was with you, giving you liberty to convey the truth to them? Have you ever been there? Do you remember the joy that filled your heart as you tried to tell other people about the goodness of God and the Spirit of God blessed them to see that truth? You're filled with joy and they're filled with joy. You cause others to be filled with joy. Philip was a man that was full of joy in the Holy Ghost. Philip was a man that preached the gospel of Jesus Christ. Look in your Bibles at Acts chapter 8. Listen, please, to verses 5 and 6. Look in your Bibles, please, at Acts chapter 8, verses 5 and 6. The Word of God says, "Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them." Do you think he was happy while he was preaching? You know, the happiest time of my life, sometimes I think I'm going to bust wide open when I'm up here preaching. You just feel like you're going to explode. You just feel like you're just so full of joy that you just can't stand it. But Philip was preaching and he was full of joy. Verse 5, verse 6 says, "And the people," listen carefully, "and the people with one accord," what did they do? "Gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did." What did they do? Philip was preaching to them, and while he was preaching, they gave heed. What does that mean? It means they obeyed what he told them to do. It means that as Philip taught them how to live, they responded and they did what he told them to do. What was the result of this man preaching who was filled with joy and filled with the Holy Ghost while he was preaching? Then the people heard the word and obeyed the word. What do you think happened to them? Look at verse 8. Acts chapter 8, verse 8. The word of God says, "And there was great joy in that city." What caused the people in that city to have great joy? Well, Philip was filled with joy as a disciple of Christ, and he preached the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the people heard and took heed and obeyed the word of God. And then what happened to them? They were caused to be filled with joy. Philip caused them to be filled with joy. Later in this same chapter, we read about Philip going to the eunuch. And I thought about this last night. Philip went a long ways to go see one man, didn't he? To you and me, that might seem like, well, man, it's great. Now, Philip was preaching to a multitude in the city. Do you follow that? He had a great crowd there, but then God called him and says, "Now you go down into the desert, and you're going to find a man down there sitting in his chariot. You go down there and see him." Yeah. You know, there aren't many preachers today that want to take time to just go see one. Yeah. But every single one of God's sheep is important to God, and they ought to be important to the church.
Amen.
And so God sent Philip down to preach to that eunuch. And when he got there to that eunuch, the eunuch was sitting there trying to read and study the Word of God. He was in Isaiah chapter 53. And while he read, he couldn't understand what he was reading. And Philip asked the eunuch, "Understandest thou what thou readest?" And the eunuch said, "How can I, except some man guide me?" Now, was Philip still full of joy? He was still full of joy, still following the leadership of the Spirit of God, still filled with the Holy Ghost and with joy. And Philip began, the scripture says that Philip began at that same verse and began to preach Jesus Christ. Guess what happened to the eunuch? He was filled with something. What was he filled with? He was filled with joy and the Holy Ghost. Did Philip, by the grace of God, cause him to be filled with the Holy Ghost in the sense that the Word of God is talking about? Yes, he did. All through the Word of God, we find that people of God have been filled. Now, I want you to remember, we're not talking about just halfway full. Is this glass full of water up here? Is that glass full of water? You might not can see, but it's not full of water. It's a little less than half full. Now, if it was full of water, if it was really full of water, you know what would happen if I added one drop to it? One drop. What would happen? It would run over. At least one drop would come out if it was really full of water. What's the point? If you're full of joy, you don't have anything else there. Anything bad. You can be filled with the joy and the Holy Ghost. You can be filled with the peace of God. You can be filled with goodness. You can be filled with God. And when you're full of God, there's no room for the devil. Go with me to 1 Peter, and we'll look at 1 Peter chapter 1 just a moment. 1 Peter, talking about great joy. We tried to talk about great peace last week. We're trying to look at great joy tonight. 1 Peter chapter 1, and not just trying to look at us being filled with great joy, but us then causing others to be filled with joy. Brother Ken Drayton, did you know you caused me to be filled with joy? Did you know you caused me to be filled with joy? Well, you do. Does he cause y'all to be filled with joy? He's in a wheelchair. His left side is paralyzed. And yet he puts forth the effort that he does to be in the house of God. Now that causes me to be filled with joy. Are you full of joy, Brother Ken?
Yes.
He's full of joy. No doubt about it. Well, see, when a person is full of joy and they're around other people that love the Lord, that person causes others to be filled with joy. Now, it's still God working. I don't mean that a man has this spectacular power to wave a wand over someone and they're filled with joy. It's just that when you're seeking God and trying to serve God, and you're around somebody else that's seeking God and trying to serve God, you find great joy in being with them. That's what I started to say a while ago about David, when David said, "I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord." Why? Because when he went into the house of the Lord, what was he filled with? He was filled with joy. Why was he filled with joy and the Holy Ghost? Well, he was filled with joy, one reason because God was there, but also because of the brethren that were there who were also filled with joy. Listen now to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 8. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 8, the Word of God says, whom, talking about Jesus, whom having not seen, that is, we have not seen, has anybody here seen Jesus with your natural eyes? We haven't seen him with our natural eyes, but do you love him? Do you love Jesus? Yeah. That's what he's saying. Whom having not seen, ye love. In whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. What kind of joy? Joy unspeakable. You can't describe how great the joy is when you not only believe in Jesus Christ, but when you believe what Jesus says, when you believe in Jesus, but when you believe Jesus, both of those cause you to have joy, to rejoice with joy unspeakable. Have you ever had joy so great you couldn't describe it? You ever have been so full of joy that you couldn't begin to tell people how wonderful that joy is? Well, that's what Peter's writing about here. That because of the faith that we have in Christ Jesus, that we can have joy unspeakable. There are a lot of other scriptures that talk about things we can do to find great joy and things we can do to bring joy into the lives of other people. Things that we can do when we're full of joy and full of the Holy Ghost, things that we can do to cause great joy in the lives of other people. And my admonition to you tonight is, first of all, my exhortation is, I want you to be filled with joy and be filled with the Holy Ghost. There are things you can do for you to be filled with joy and be filled with the Holy Ghost. But then after you're filled with joy and filled with the Holy Ghost, don't back up in some corner somewhere, but you get out and you cause others to be filled with joy and filled with the Holy Ghost by the way that you live. May God help us to do that is my prayer for Christ's sake.